back to Big Ugly Tailgate on the Horn. Big Ugly Tailgate is brought to you by Twisted X Brewery, the official beer of barbecue.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Big Ugly Tailgate. It's just me in the house today. A little fishing update. The coast, it's a little hot right now, but they're finding reds, catching a lot of trout still in the surf and everything like that. The rigs are still going offshore, you know, catching snapper, kingfish, wahoo, grouper. I mean, you have to go a little further out for grouper, a little bit colder water, but that water's pushed in, so it's good fishing right now. It's not a bad time to get down to the coast, especially with, you know, no one knowing if school's starting. I mean, because my kids just got they're starting, but like they're on, you know, visual or webcam for 6 weeks or whatever. So it's just, it's crazy, crazy times where it's like, I mean, if my kids are going to be doing virtual things, you know, you can go down to rent a beach house with the family for a week or whatever. Go down the coast and do some fishing, you know, in the afternoons and stuff like that. So it's just different times right now. Not everyone's just at home. Everyone's still kind of taking vacations because it's, you know, cheap time to travel and really just, you know, work from home and enjoy the outdoors. And I think a big thing that I've kind of gather through the whole COVID thing, and everyone, you kind of see Mother Nature correcting itself a little bit, you know, with, you know, less pollution in the air, you know, less boat traffic on the water and stuff like that, and blah blah blah. It's just it's wild to see nature come full circle the way it's supposed to, and I think that's pretty freaking cool. Just to let you know that we use power and motor too damn much. Tell you that, gas, engines, all everything we use, too many damn power plants, all that good stuff. But anyways, it's a good time to go fishing if you need to get down to the coast. Dove season's right around the corner. Head over to McBride's or Academy or whatever and get your licenses now. I'd always go get the super combo so you can just get covered for the whole year. Or you can actually get the lifetime hunting license. I think it's like $1,200. But you don't have to pay for your license for the rest of your life. So it's a good deal. Or you pay, you know, your $100 a year for, you know, your super combo that covers, you know, turkeys, deer, redfish, trout, you know, freshwater, saltwater, all that good stuff. So that's where I would go. Head over to McBride's and get that. I did just buy a new shotgun, a little 28-gauge semi-auto. For dove season. And a lot of people don't. They're like, well, why are you shooting 28 gauge? You must be a good shot. I'm like, well, it's the same shot. It's just you have a bigger pattern. I mean, it's, you know, it's the same amount of lead. It's the same, you know, it's if it's a 7.5 on this and it's a 7.5 on my 28 gauge, it's the same amount. It's just y'all got a bigger spread, really. I just don't feel like blowing my shoulder out anymore. Grew up shooting an A5. Messed me up. NHL, let's hop into NHL real quick. I just want to talk. It's NHL playoffs. I don't know when Texas probably even knows what hockey is. But my Colorado Avalanche up 2-0 against the Coyotes of Arizona in the playoffs. Montreal and Philadelphia are tied 1-1 in their series. Vancouver beat St. Louis last night 2-0. St. Louis defending champs, aren't they? No, they're not. No, it's the Washington Capitals. Sorry. New York Islanders up 2-0 on the Washington Capitals. They won 5-2 last night. Dallas is down 2-1 in their series with Calgary. But that's your playoff hockey news right there. Getting back to, you know, Texas and, you know, they're in camp right now. Big, you know, Big Ten since last week, Big Ten's decided to, you know, postpone football. So did the not the ACC, freaking Pac-12. So, and then, you know, a bunch of, like, Mountain West. But there's still three Power Fives. The South saying, hey, we're going to try. We're going to keep this thing going as long as we can. And I think that's the way they should have done it for all, you know, for Big 12 and Pac-12 is just, or Big 10 and Pac-12, to just get their protocols in place and try it. You know, you got to see. I mean, it sucks if these kids, a lot of these seniors don't get their senior season. And, you know, you see the quarterback from Washington that got drafted. He had a little interview the other day saying, you know, I wouldn't have been drafted if I didn't have my senior season, you know, up there with Washington State, I'm sorry. He's like, I wouldn't have been drafted if I didn't have my senior season. So that, you know, it's one of those things where it's going to suck for a bunch of these kids. And I don't even know how they're going to do the draft this year if Big Ten and them are going to decide to have a spring game, a spring ball, you know, or spring football season. And then you're going to have two national champions because what are you going to have, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten just play each other in the playoffs or something like that? And then you go the three Power Five here, you have a 8-team playoff with with ACC, Big 12, and SEC. But, you know, I don't know how it's going to happen. I know conference champions will be the big one this year. You know, you got to win your conference championship. You know, that's – and then however the national championship thing falls, it falls, right? Because it's going to be weird and messed up. But I think the biggest thing for Texas is they got to win the Big 12. They got to come home with a conference championship this year. And that goes through Norman. We all know that. So I think this year with Texas, if we get all our games in, they got to win the Big 12. You know, and then you got a tough Kansas State team, Oklahoma State, you know, TCU always plays as tough. And then you got to watch out. I don't know, Iowa State, they just lost their whole defense, so I'm not too worried about them. They're all seniors on that defense at Iowa State that been pretty good the last few years. You know, Baylor, you know, they went off last year. They got crushed the year before, and then they went off last year, but their new head coach is now in Carolina. Matt Rhule's in Carolina. He's right, Carolina. He's the Panthers' new head coach.
Yeah.
And so he's doing that thing there. And, you know, so you who knows what Baylor football is going to be like next year. Probably another down year for a couple years or whatever. But this is the year for Texas to win the Big 12, period. And they have the experience. They have the older guys. You know, they have the offensive line coming back that should be pretty strong, you know, with – you know, you got your tackles, you got that set, right? And then you got your guards that got some experience last year, and you put Hershteader down at center. I think that's the best bet. He, because you want someone at center that can direct the whole offense, right? And he's a smart enough cat that he can sit there, and if his guards have questions, he can answer those questions quickly for him. Like, hey, we're going to this guy, blah, blah, blah. You know, just make sure everyone's on the same page. I think he'll be really good at that. So I think keeping him at center is probably the best bet. But I don't know if they got somebody young coming in or, you know, who his backup is or anything like that. But it's the year, though. You know, the offensive line has experience. The quarterback, clearly, Sam, this needs to be his year. You know, you can't – and I think with this new offensive coordinator, it's going to be good for Sam. I mean, last year we were in 11 personnel for like 90% of the snaps. It's like you got to mix it up. Sam wasn't running the ball because they're worried about his shoulder, but it's like you're not going to be able to run the football if Sam doesn't have that threat. You know, so Sam being a threat, pulling it five times a game, six times a game, you know, like kind of like Colt did, where Colt wasn't a – They had to keep their eye on him because Colt would break it for 50, 60 every once in a while, you know. And Sam has that same ability. I don't think he's as fast as Colt, but he still has to pull it every once in a while to keep that defense honest so you can keep your run game going, you know. And I think if Texas establishes a run game, they can really open up the pass game, you know, play action, stuff like that, especially with the way – the way Sam is, and if he keeps running the ball, play action is going to be huge. You know, but you play action doesn't work if you can't run the damn ball. So that's what I'll be looking at this year. But I think the offense, you know, we got some receivers. That's the one thing is no one knows the receivers. But I mean, we've been recruiting and signing receivers for the last 3 years that are solid players. We just haven't seen them on the field yet. So, you know, I'm not worried about the offense. On the defensive side, you know, you lost Roach, where he was, you know, kind of that leader on the defense, you know, that big guy up there. We're good on the back end. I think, you know, our safeties and our corners and everybody there, I think they're going to be dialed in. You know, they've been kind of hurt and just kind of people in different places the last few years, not everyone being healthy. And I think this year, having everyone healthy and getting after it, it's going to be a good year for the back end for Texas. Linebackers and DNs is where I worry. You know what I mean? Like, you need in the Big 12, you have to be able to rush four and get home. Like, you have to have four dogs that are down and can get home, because if you don't, if you can't get home with four, then every time you ever get pressure, you have to bring a blitz to get pressure. That's not good. You need to be able to create pressure on non-blitzing plays, and that's what really disrupts an offense. And if you have to bring pressure to get pressure on the quarterback, you know, that opens you up somewhere. And if you have a smart enough quarterback that can recognize that, you know, he doesn't get the ball out quick, boom, he beats the blitz, and then he's crushing you all day. And then now you can't bring the blitz because he's hit you twice. Every time you bring the blitz, he hits you on that, you know, that quick out or whatever. And then now you can't blitz anymore. And then you got a quarterback just sitting there in the pocket, and you got five offensive linemen blocking four guys, and they're not getting home, and they're not even putting any pressure on the quarterback, and the quarterback just sits in the pocket and picks you apart all day. You know what I mean? And that's just the that's the reality of it. And I just think that's the big thing that Texas didn't have last year in that defensive line, was they couldn't get home with four guys. They could stop the run, I'll give them that, but they couldn't get home with four guys. And that's the one thing I want to see with the D-line this year, is getting home. What else we got today? So they're going to be pads this week. They'll probably scrimmage next week. I wish I could go out there, but I have to call up there and see what the hell the protocols are, see if I can go up there and watch a practice Monday, Tuesday, or whatever. You have to pull your truck around here, put your mask on, your windows up, and watch practice. Can I honk when it's a good play or something? Do I get a Gatorade? You get a Pedialyte pop? That'd be nice. You know they have that now at practice? So Pedialyte pops, like, they get them for kids, right? Like, you know those frozen popsicles, the ones that have, like, the plastic ones you get at the...
All I know about Pedialyte is for when you're hungover.
Or when you practice real hard and you need to rehydrate, right? So, like, for kids, a lot of kids don't drink enough water, so they have these things when it's real hot. They're those popsicles that freeze in the plastic, right? And it's Pedialyte solution. So Texas football players have that at their damn, like, at their practice for, like, when they take the timeouts and stuff. I mean, it's awesome, but it's like, damn, really? It's gotten that far?
What'd y'all have?
Shoot, water? Shoot. Water and Gatorade. But the Gatorade would be some days good, some days it would be crap. It all depended on who mixed it. Yeah. So you'd always ask, and, like, there'd be certain people would be like, I think Vince and Selvin, all of them, had one guy that made it for them, and they made it, like, extra sugar, you know, like
Kool-Aid.
Like Kool-Aid. I was like, damn, it's like syrup. This thing's, like, thick. Put this on some pancakes in this mother. No, but yeah, that was, all we had was Gatorade and water. But I remember in high school, what did you have?
Water.
Did y'all have?
What That's kind it.
Of, how did the water come out in high school for you?
Oh, it had probably tap, straight tap.
No, but I mean, did y'all have, like, water bottles in high school, or what did y'all have?
At
the practice field.
No, it was just the fountains. The random fountains that just stayed on the whole time. Yeah.
Okay.
Stayed on the whole time.
Okay, so you didn't have the water hose connected to the PVC pipe connected to a fence where they just turned
off. Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was.
Okay, yeah.
For sure.
Okay, that's what we had. Okay. It was just like, dang. And then you always had those couple of kids that would put their mouths on the PVC pipe. Like, what are you doing, man? The damn thing squirt in the air and catch it. Like, put your mouth on the damn PVC pipe. I always hated that one. But I don't know. Why did we get into that? I don't know what we're talking about. What were we just talking about? Hydration?
Hydration, yeah.
Yeah. Hydration is key, though. Like, 107 degrees today. And what really helps me, though, is, you know, I've said it on the show, and I actually had a guy come up to the came up to Whitfield's, and he goes, hey, man, I've been trying that, you know, drinking of, you know, putting that glass of, like, you know, 25, 30 ounces of water next to my bed at room temperature and drinking that right when I get up. And he goes, it's really nice. It gets everything moving in the morning, you know, and it's, I was like, well, you just got to think about it. If you're asleep for 6 hours, your body hasn't had water in 6 hours. And you know, so it's like one of those things, and it just gets everything moving. So it should be the first thing in your body every morning, because it automatically gets into your veins and you start hydrating back again and, you know, everything like that. But yeah, so you need to stay hydrated today. And you know what else I like is that coconut water. Do you like coconut milk or water? Do you do any of that?
Coconut milk every once in a while, but no, I'm not a coconut water guy.
Man,
how'd you get into that?
My wife. She's like, this will help you rehydrate. And then plus, like, I watch all those damn shows, like, crack a coconut open is a good source of hydration, you know, all the water in there, blah, blah, blah. So, anything natural, I'm cool with, you know what I mean? Yes, someone texted in, he said, the water that tasted like ass that came out of those PVC pipes. I'm like, yeah, it did. But, I mean, when you're sitting there in practice and that's all you had.
Yeah, when it's 101,
yeah,
you don't care at all.
But you always had to let it run for a little bit to get that hot hose water out of there first. You know what I mean? That poor sap that goes up there and it's that hot water burns. Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst. I agree, though. The Pac-10 or Pac-12 and Big Ten for shutting it down, they're a bunch of babies already. It's ridiculous to me. You know, at least you got to let these kids at least try it out. You know what I mean? And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that's what the Big 12 is doing, the ACC and SEC is doing, and trying to make it work. And hopefully it does. Hopefully everyone stays safe. But the hardest thing is when, like, the guy from Seattle bringing a girl in, you know what I mean, and he got kicked off the team. When all these 40,000 students come back, if they do come back, I know they're starting school from online at the beginning, I think, or they're going for a few of the, like, 6 weeks and then taking off the last half of the year. I don't know how they're doing it at a school at Texas. When all these kids get back, I mean, you know, you just win a ball game, you tell me you can't go hang out. I mean, it's just, you know what I'm saying? That's going to be the true test to see if people can stay that discipline and get through this whole half of the year COVID-free throughout a team. Because if it spreads, there goes your squad. But they are taking a lot of, you know, we get one bye week a month, so that's nice. You know what I mean? That will kind of help stuff, you know, spread a little bit, but you know, spread out all the interactions with other teams and stuff like that. So, you know, hopefully it works. And I, because if not, it's gonna be a weird year without football.
So, what would your ideal postseason tournament or type? I don't know, just postseason after all the conference games with no Pac-12 and no Big Ten. What would you like to see?
Say that again?
Like your ideal situation in the postseason, since we don't have playoff situation.
Yeah.
And there's just going to be the end of the regular season, like the conference championship. What would you like to see for like a postseason type play-in or playoff format?
You can't do bowl games. You can't, because bowl games, like, you can't, I mean, there's more bowl games than there are teams right now, right? So, that's funny you said that. Someone just suggested, they said, I say just F it, preseason polls, and do a 64-team football bracket tournament right out the gates.
What if you lose?
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, that's just wild.
Yeah, this isn't March Madness.
I know, right? You get one game possibly this year. Hope you kick some ass. No, that would be pretty cool. You know, I don't know. So I think the conference games will all happen. You know, to determine the national championship, I don't know what they're going to do. But if they do like a playoff, I bet you they experiment with having an 18 playoff or something like that to try to maximize their money. That's the way I look at it now with them all. See, that's and the other thing is, too, like someone just chimed in, like Pac-10 and Big Ten, all their top NFL picks, they're done. If I'm a top pick in the NFL going into my senior year right now, and I play for Ohio State or someone in the Big Ten or Pac-12 or whatever, and I'm working out getting ready for the combine, I'm done for the year. Because it's not going to be football. I'm going to go to school and start getting ready for the combine. Because I'm not going to play in the spring because you got the draft and everything else. You know what I'm saying? So you can't.
So how would you go about it for each grade? Because obviously you get projected depending on how many games you've played and et cetera. So if you're a sophomore going into your junior year.
You better play.
You better play.
Yeah, you have to.
Okay.
You have to. Because you have to have that junior season. Like, you're not good enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to play. If you're a sophomore going into your junior season, you're going to play that junior season. But the guys that are going to be juniors, that's who you're talking about, right? The guys that are
right. The guys that are going into their third year.
Yeah,
they're eligible.
Yeah, they got to play. I mean, they got to play. You know what I mean? But you'll see some opt out. It happens every year. People entering the draft way too early. But you know, there's a lot of other reasons why a lot of people do that too. You know, school wise, and someone's flunking out, or this or that, or blah blah blah. You know. But yeah, those top players of Pac-10 and Big Ten, their top players that are going to the NFL draft this coming up draft this year, or you know, next year's draft after the season, they're all not going to play that spring season. None of them are. So like even that quarterback from Ohio State, is he a sophomore this year or is he a junior?
I want to say he redshirt. No, he's a junior. He's a junior.
Yeah, he's a junior. Okay, so he'll probably play, but you know, if I'm a Big Ten, you know, going to be a senior, I'm getting ready for the combine right now. I'm gonna stay in school and get ready for the combine and do all that, because you know the draft is when it is. That'll be right in the middle of your season, and you know then it's like camp and all this. It would be weird as hell for me at least. But hey, we gotta take a quick commercial break and we're right back with more Big Ugly Tailgate after this.
Back to Big Ugly Tailgate on the Horn. Big Ugly Tailgate is brought to you by Twisted X Brewery, the official beer of barbecue.
The Warren G, baby. What's crazy is I didn't know Warren G was so involved with the Crips or the Bloods in, when he was coming up.
Yeah, the Crips.
Yeah, the Crips. They said that you didn't mess with them, though. They said, no, Warren G, like, he didn't play around. I've seen, like, different things, like, on Vlad TV. You ever see Vlad's interviews?
Yeah, every once in a while.
He has some crazy people on there, like all the mobsters he has on there. Y'all go check out Vlad TV. Dude did some interviews with some, like, ex-mobsters, you know, rappers, ball players. And he gets some good interviews out of these people. But, like, talking about shooting an informant 12 times. The guy was like, yeah. I'm like, and these old mafia guys talking about it. It's nuts. You got to check it out. But, yeah, Warren G, he has some guys on there say, Warren G don't play around.
He seems like such a laid-back guy.
Yeah. But they said Warren G there to fight. I said, no, that's wild.
Man.
Yeah. Why is Ashley only on the show like once a month? Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Got a breakfast taco. Because she, you know, she's Ashley. She always is traveling. And she's always traveling by car now. Going all over Texas. But this weekend, she's at a funeral. So keep her in your thoughts for today. A good friend of hers passed. Still playing primary. I can't talk about that. Did you say that Tim Crowder was the crazy one? Is he still in the NFL? No, Tim Crowder wasn't the crazy one. What I was talking about Tim Crowder was a leader, though. He was more of like that barber that would cut your hair and talk to you, give you that good motivational, that good motivational speech. But what I was talking about was you have to ask him the story about the first time when I think it was his freshman year, redshirt year, when he was playing Richie Incognito here against Nebraska. It's hilarious. It's not hilarious, but, you know, he goes, yeah, I knew he was crazy then. And now you see how, you know, Incognito is now all over, you know, media. Everyone knows he's crazy, but. You know, I remember vividly after that game, he was like, dude, that guy's freaking crazy. But he made Kim Crowder a better player because it's like, it's one of those things. And then you got like Jamal Brown from Oklahoma. Jamal Brown was a huge, just talking mess. But going against good talent like that makes you a better ball player, especially at a younger age. But that's what that was about, was talking about Crowder's thing. Back to NFL football. I wanted to talk about the Ravens. We didn't get to it last segment or whatever. But the Baltimore Ravens are trying to build a team right now to win a championship, period. And they just picked up Wolf from the Broncos, great D tackle, and Calais Campbell. And with those two older veterans, yeah, they probably got about 3-4 more years left in their tank, but they're good ball players that can definitely help out, stop the run game for anybody running against, you know, and against the Ravens. And then plus you got your two edge rushers. But those two are good against guards on getting free, breaking double teams, and still putting inside pressure on quarterbacks. So I think the Ravens made a really good quiet offseason, and they're ready. They're going to compete for the championship. I think them and Kansas City is definitely the favorite. But you know, you look at the Cowboys just getting Everson Griffin on their squad. You know, I remember B. Rob talking about how good he was and how good of a ball player that guy is. I mean, he's still playing at a high level to get in for $6 million. And you know, the Cowboys. The Cowboys should be a squad this year. The only thing is do they want to be a squad? You know what I mean? That's my whole big thing with the Cowboys is you get those years when they're playing good together and then, you know, they just kind of fall apart. It's like, what Cowboys are you going to get? Because but even with McCoy and all these guys, they got veteran leadership on that squad now. So I think that's what they really needed to get these young players to stop thinking so much and just play football. Because you got older guys that you don't have to go tell them what to do or get in a position. You know they're going to do their job, so you're free and open. Because that's the biggest thing. A lot of times, like you'll see Bill Belichick talk about all the time, where he'll come to the defense, hey, stop playing around, trying to make a play. Do your job, hold your gap, period. Just do your job, we'll win this ball game. Like he's like, you can't be a selfish player to play for me. You know what I mean? Like you're going to have to take on a double team. But I see that. Don't worry about what your stats say. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, and it's, you know, do your job. And so if the Cowboys, you know, can get less freelancing and really have a scheme and everyone stick to that and do their job, I think the Cowboys got a good shot this year.
I think that gets lost in football so much. You see a guy that has been like a four-time Pro Bowl player, mm-hmm. and now they're getting double-teamed like every single play, and their stats dwindle. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, he fell off. Like, no, he's just taking double teams, and other guys are getting more opportunities.
Yep, absolutely. And that's that whole thing with that is it's, you know, and that's when you see other people emerge and stuff like that, you know. But you get another guy on the other side, you know. But what separates the good from the great, you know, is when you finally get that chance of not a double team, you better hit home. And you see that with the best. Like, okay, I didn't get a chip here. I don't have a chip coming. I got a one-on-one situation. Backfield's empty. Time to go eat. You know, you got to strike home. You know what I mean? When you get that chance, and then you got to beat a double team as well, especially in the run game. You got to be able to hold both of them or split it and make a tackle, you know. But, yeah, that's that. You know, fans do lose that a lot. Like, oh, he ain't that good anymore. All right, put him one-on-one all game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't put a running back chipping them every play. Like, sorry. You know, so that's that. That's what comes with the territory. You're that good. You know, you got the game plan around people. Like J.J. Watt, when he was dominant, like, they had a game plan around him. You know, Ed Reed. Every time you played Ed Reed, you had a game plan. You're like, we just got to know where 20's at. Where is he at? You know, that's extra game plan that goes in with him. Like, you got to be aware of him, you know, because you know he's studying his ass off. You got to study your ass off. Who's Carolina's quarterback now?
Bridgewater.
So they didn't get anybody, and then Burrow went to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Ugh, that sucks for him. I mean, you know, I don't know.
How do you feel about him? Do you think that, you know, it's fool's gold and he was just around so much talent last year, like he had to be good? I mean, he had an unbelievable season, the best, you know, statistically in history, but I don't know if he's going to fall on his face. Like, how do you feel about him going to Cincinnati?
See, I don't like Cincinnati for him because it's going to be like because a lot of times when you get a number one quarterback drafted, he comes to a situation where there's nothing. I mean, he has A.J. Green, you know what I mean? But
Joe Mixon's one of the best running backs in the league.
So he has a little – but, I mean, they're on the up-and-coming, right? They're rebuilding. So, like, his first couple years, you know, he's probably going to get hit a lot, holding the ball a little too much or something, you know what I mean? You always see that, you know, just the change of the game. And but you saw how good he can throw the ball downfield and how accurate he was throwing NFL throws. So I don't think that's going to be his problem. I just think the mental aspect of, man, we just went undefeated, dominating everybody. Now I'm over here grinding, you know what I mean? It's just that mental aspect where you got to go back to square one again, you know what I mean? And don't get frustrated on yourself because y'all aren't winning. You know what I mean? It's like you're a rookie quarterback, you're a growing team, you're playing well, but you're not winning. You know what I mean? So you got to figure out ways to win games. But I think it's harder for quarterbacks to go into a situation where they're rebuilding, they don't really have much going on. You know what I mean?
That's what we saw with Baker, too. That's what basically he said, just being in that limelight his whole career, having success his whole career, it's hard to come and have those failures once you get to the league.
But he had a squad around him. Is what I'm saying. Like, his first year, he split time and did pretty good, right? And then he was out there doing commercials, effing off, doing his own thing, right? And so last year was kind of a down year for him. Like, he wasn't, you know, kind of. It was a down year for him. It wasn't Baker-ish, you know what I mean? And I think he got humbled, though, just kind of seeing his past interviews, you know what I mean? Hopefully he got humbled. Hopefully he still has that fire because that's the way he plays, so... I'll never say lose your fire, but you know, he has weapons everywhere. So he doesn't have. If Joe Burrow was going into the Cleveland Browns as a rookie quarterback, you'd be like, oh, he's gonna go off.
Really?
You would think, right?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield coming out of the senior season he has goes to the Browns right now. You're like, oh, he's gonna go off. Look at his offense. You think about it, you got Beckham and Landry. How can you not go off with those two? Someone's getting doubled. One's going to be singled. Then whoever's getting singled, he better get open.
But they got rid of the coach and stuff. Do you think that was a problem?
Yeah, probably too. You know what I mean? But it's the Cleveland Browns are such a freaking mess with their. I mean, they've had. I think E. Hogan said this morning. He said they had 56. Quarterbacks and head coaches in the last like 15 years.
Yeah, like since the Spurs, I want to say one.
Yeah, 22 years or whatever. They've yeah, had like 56 yeah. coaches and quarterbacks. Just head coaches and quarterbacks. You kidding me? It's insane. So it's just, I don't know. The Browns, either they have a curse or there's no trust in the upper staff. You know what I mean? You never know the uncertainty as a player when you're playing football to know if you're going to be here or not. That's hard. That's hard to live with that. You know what I mean?
When you were in the league, how many coaching changes were you a part of?
None. I was a Coop the whole time.
Wow.
And then, yeah, I never had to do all that. Thank God.
But, yeah, I never had a – because you see sometimes new coaches come in and they'll clean house, you know. They'll clean house on the coaching side, and then, you know, they'll bring in their players. Like, okay, we got these three free agents from the other team. We'll take them in. They fit our program, you know, because they're bringing in a whole new offense and all that kind of stuff, scheme. But I did see a good article where Kubiak, they're telling that how he's kind of modernized this whole new offense and, you know, in the NFL right now. Like, it's all kind of off of his game. And you can look at it, it goes back, it starts in Mike Shanahan, you know, because he was the old coordinator of Mike Shanahan, and that was, you know, that was Kubiak's offense, right? And, you know, then he gets his chance and comes down to, you know, gets in Houston, does his thing there, then gets back to Denver and wins a Super Bowl and everything. And now you see Kyle Shanahan with the same type of stuff, you know. It's and what it is, Kyle's route tree's way more complicated than Coop's was. And, like, the way he approaches the game is different. But when it comes to schemes and, like, their base offenses and the way they run their offenses are pretty freaking similar. You know, just corks off the ins and outs off of that. But, hey, we got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more Big Ugly Tailgate after this. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Big Ugly Tailgate. It's just Casey in the house today. It's going to be a hot one. Stay hydrated. Come by Whitfield's. I got a full menu. We got our banana pudding, cobblers, and Mexican chocolate cakes out today. If you got a sweet tooth, plenty of brisket, ribs, sausage, pulled pork, and the yard bird, and a little turkey. And some boudin as well. Absolutely. Anyways, come see me today down at Whitfield's before it gets too hot so I can get out of the heat as well. That'd be cool. Devin Duvernay is going to light it up in Baltimore. Yeah, I think so, too. And I think Lamar Jackson, there's just so many different, you know, they put him at the slot and get him on a matchup with a linebacker. He's going to crush. You know what I mean? But again with him, he's going to have to learn how to block. Because when you got the key to, I love blocking receivers. Like receivers that will, you know, block. And, with that quarterback in the running game and stuff like that, he's going to have to block and get in that slot position and you know, be disguised type. But I think he's going to be a great player as well. I mean, he's explosive as hell. He had great hands. Question right here. I don't know. And this is the question. It says, Casey, who's the sickest athlete you played against who didn't play up to their potential? You know, playing all-star games, there's all kinds of them. Didn't play up to potential. You know, we had a couple at Texas that came in. You're like, wow. But, I mean, what's crazy is a lot of these kids that, you know, they get that they didn't play up to their potential. They're kind of, when they come in as, like, freshmen, they're kind of already maxed out, if that makes sense to anybody. Like they stop growing, you know, that type of stuff. They're already kind of, you know, there's not much more growth in these people, you know. So sometimes you see that. You know, I don't know. I mean, I have to think about that one. I might have something for you. High school or college? Man. Bo Scaife was the sickest high school player I've ever seen. And he had 5 knee surgeries, and he's still played 7-8 years in the league. You know what I mean? Like, Bo Scaife was his size playing kickoff return, punt return, receiver, tight end. Like, he was cold. I remember I was a freshman playing against him in Colorado and watching him play, and he's going to Texas. Like, hell yeah, he's going to Texas. You know what I mean? And then he And then, you know, he had all those knee surgeries, but you could, I mean, he lived up to it. I think if he never would have hurt his knees, he would have been one of those dudes in the NFL. I mean, he was. You know, I mean, he played in the NFL 7-8 years. I mean, you did your thing. Like, you made your money. But he could have been one of the top-end tight ends if he never would have, you know, his knees wouldn't have buckled on him as much. But to go through 6 knee surgeries and still make it, like, you're a bad dude. Like, you're, you know, that's hard to do for anybody. I mean, shoot, so. He was probably the coldest. And I've seen Vince play in high school, too. He, I mean, not personally. I mean, I played against him. I played with him in the All-American game. And he was pretty stupid, ridiculous for that. But, I mean, it was only one game. You know, I've seen his highlights. His are crazy. I don't know. I'm going to think about that one. That didn't live up to their potential. What we got here? We got about 5 minutes left. You know, Texas is – I kind of gave my description earlier about what I expect from Texas. And what it is they got to win the Big 12 championship for one. Offense line needs to adapt quick. They need to get the run game going. Tight ends need to get into the game more. You know, they got to be a blocking tight end. They got to be catching, you know, get 10 targets a game. It's just the matchups. You got to create better matchups. You know, I hear a lot of good things about the new running back that just came in. That's the one thing is the backfield. You know, there's always been a Ricky Williams, a Cedric Benson, a Selvin Young, a Jamal Charles, you know, all these different backs that come through here, and they're, you know, badass backs that came and did their thing. And then you got your Foreman that was here and, you know, Malcolm Brown and Fozzie and all those guys. But there really hasn't been anybody to really go take that role and put it on their back in the last 5, 6 years, 7, you know, whatever it's been. Since and Foreman was only here 1 year, or really only ran 1 or 2 years, and he was gone. So, you know, you didn't get that much out of him. But Texas just hasn't had a running back that's been dominant like a Chubb or someone like that, you know, in so long. They haven't had a dominant back. And usually we always have somebody back there. So that's one thing I want to see is the running back position take big strides this year, offensive line as well. And my biggest concern really on the whole team is just that the D-line linebacker, you know, if the D-line can get home. Like, if the D-line can get home, that defense is going to be sick because we can cover 3 seconds. But it's when, you know, that quarterback's sitting back there 3, 4 seconds and these DBs have to, you know, cover for 4 seconds. That's hard to do. And 4 or 5 seconds, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot. So that's my biggest concern this year is that D-line getting home on a 4-man rush. But what I'm looking forward to is to see what this new coordinator comes in and does, you know, for defense and offense. I'm definitely excited for that. I can't wait to see the new wrinkles in the offense. I'm going to try to get out there probably next week, see if I can get out there. I'll call Coach and be like, oh, just let me know. I'll come in the back door and stay away from everybody. I don't have to say hi. I just want to watch practice. So I'm going to get that worked out for next week. But other than that, I think, you know, Texas has to win the Big 12 this year. I think they have a chance to. And I think that's the main thing. I wouldn't worry about any of national championship, bowl games, or any of that crap. I'll just be worried about winning your Big 12 championship because that's all you can control right now and let the rest of the stuff, you know, the rest of the pieces fall, you know, fall in line. If the line executed simple, yeah, mechanics like you did. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of things that, but you gotta realize that when you have, you know, just the fundamentals and stuff like that, like it's a unit thing. So if you got 4 guys kicking ass and 1 guy not, that screws the whole offense line as a whole. You're judged as a whole. You're not judged as an individual, you know, in the offensive line. So that's the biggest thing is to get an offensive line that where you grade out all high. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the key to a good offensive line because you're judged in a whole. You're not judged as, oh, the left tackle had a great game today. The right guard had a shitty game. Sorry, I got to drop that. And the right tackle had a poor game. You know what I mean? So it's like you can't it's either the offensive line sucked or they were good, period. That's just that's just the gist of it. So my whole thing is you got to get five guys playing on the same level, and when you can get that, that's and it's hard to do, but that's when you really start seeing magic. You know, and I don't even think I had mechanics, really. I think I was more – I think I had the worst mechanics on our whole offensive line. You know, like Justin Blaylock had, like, the most beautiful set you'd ever seen in your life, just perfect all day long. Me and Lyle had no form. We just held on and tried to take people out. I mean, it's just what we did. Jay Scott had good form as well. It's just one of those things. But – yeah, that does it for us today. We got Colonel Flowers and Jamie Frazier coming on next with the High Ground. Enjoy your Saturday. Enjoy your Sunday weekend. A lot of sports on. Check it out. Come see me at Whitfield's either today or tomorrow. And y'all have a good weekend. We'll talk to you later.